Welcome to Local Talk Friday on KHOY Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in Central Iowa. It's good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and the spoken word. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with engineer Mike Murphy and co-host Mike Metz. How are you?
I'll tell you, Pat, I think most of us are exhausted on April 1st because we just had a 31-day march.
Yes, we have. Okay.
April Fool.
and we're beyond March. We are marching beyond March. The Decorah Eagles have hatched, and the ospreys are returning. The fishing raptor from South America has come back to Iowa. And there is a full slate of Local Talk guests in the wings, so to speak, this first day of April 2022, and the 37th day of the war in Ukraine.
The weather forecast is somewhat warmer today with a high of 56 and a low to 38 degrees this evening with a possibility of more rain. It will be partly sunny Saturday and partly cloudy Sunday with highs again in the 50s. Additional showers early part of next week. Let's welcome Dennis Hart now with a summary of the week's news from the pages of our local newspapers.
The Iowa State men's and women's basketball teams, a new budget for Story County with a lowered tax levy, and approval for another coronavirus booster shot, all made big news in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's paper, which reported on a new nationwide poll that showed that 64% of Americans think public schools have gotten off on the wrong track when it comes to what children are being taught. Just 1 in 4 Americans think schools are headed in the right direction. And Americans are split on whether they trust their local schools to teach racism and whether to provide private school scholarships using tax dollars. 87% of people who voted for former President Donald Trump said schools are on the wrong track. Voters who supported President Joe Biden are split on that decision, with 43% saying they think schools are heading in the right direction, 42% said they were not. Friday's Trib also reported that a recent audit of the city of Colo shows what was described as material weaknesses and significant deficiencies in the city's operations. State Auditor Rob Sands said those deficiencies can lead to human error and fraud, though none of the findings are considered violations. The audit found receipts and transfers that were posted incorrectly and disbursements that were not properly supported by an invoice or other documentation. Colo is a Story County city of 984 residents east of Nevada. An audit of the city is required every year because it has a budget of more than $1 million a year. Saturday's paper reported that Iowans will soon be hearing references to new state agency name, the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Administrators are moving ahead with plans to merge the State Department of Public Health with the State Department of Human Services, which already is the biggest agency in state government. The two departments have already shared a leader since the summer of 2020. That's when the Health Department Director retired and Human Services Director Kelly Garcia also became Interim Director of the Health Department. Many of the agency's services overlap. The Health Department looks for ways to improve the health of all Iowans, while the Human Services Department oversees Medicaid, the program that finances care for about a quarter of the state's population. No layoffs are expected when the two departments merge, but some employees could see their duties change. The Department of Human Services is authorized to have more than 4,200 full-time employees. The Department of Public Health has about 525 full-time workers. And the Trib reported on several things to watch for as the state's political elections campaigns get underway for the June primary. Among them, three Democrats have made it onto the ballot for the U.S. Senate primary. Former Congresswoman Abby Finkenauer is the frontrunner, but retired Navy Admiral Mike Franken and physician and city council member Glenn Hurst hope to catch up. Another one to watch is the 3rd Congressional District Republican primary election, where three people are battling each other in the June primary for the right to run against Democratic Congresswoman Cindy Axne in the fall general election. Then there's the gubernatorial race, with Democrat Deidre DeGeer set to run against Republican incumbent Kim Reynolds. So far, Reynolds has a big fundraising advantage. And there's a question about how legislative seats will play out in the Des Moines metro, as Democrats try to take back some seats in the Republican-controlled state House and Senate. Sunday's Trib reported that significant budget cuts planned for most departments within one of Iowa State University's colleges have faculty in the National Association concerned. Next year, the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences is expected to announce details of its plan to trim $15 million from the current annual budget over several years. Two of the college's departments, history along with philosophy and religious studies, are set to take the biggest hits, losing 25% of their budgets compared to the present. The cuts are the result of the college being impacted by enrollment decreases, along with students coming into college with more credit hours in hand. The Trib also had word that the Nevada Public Library would host a Midwest author series from April through October, thanks to a $10,000 American Rescue Plan grant. The library was one of 200 selected for funding across the country. Humanities Grants for Libraries is an emergency relief program to help libraries affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Funding comes from the National Endowment for the Humanities. And, of course, the Trib's sports pages were chock-full of stories about the Iowa State's men's and women's basketball teams, both of which lost in the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA tournament last Friday night. The men lost to Miami 70-56, while the women lost to Creighton 76-58. Tuesday's paper reported that the deadline for agencies and cities to apply for $284,000 in Story County grants for home repairs is fast approaching. The funding is available through the county's Housing Trust Fund. The money can be used to fund repairs such as roofing, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, septic tanks, and siding at owner-occupied properties. The maximum grant per household is $8,000, except for septic tank requests, which have a maximum of $12,000. Agencies and cities can apply for the money and approve it for individuals. The deadline to apply is April 4th. The Trib also had a couple of tasty stories on its front page. One involved the West Town Pub on Mortensen Road in Ames, which has been named a finalist in Iowa's Best Burger Contest. One of the pub's owners says in the past few months it had changed a few things about its burgers, including the beef, which is now a different grind, as well as the kitchen equipment, all of which, he says, makes for a juicier burger. The winning burger will be announced May 3rd. And the Trib reported that an Iowa State University student has a new flavor of frozen dessert named after her. The vegan frozen dessert that Lucy Slezuski made can't be called ice cream like some of the other products that are available from the university creamery, because to be vegan, something has to be free of ingredients that came from animals, and that would include dairy. But the Slezuski swirl, which is dark chocolate with cherry, still hits all the right notes when it comes to texture and taste in spite of being a plant-based imitation of ice cream. And she says it tends to stay frozen a bit longer than ice cream. She says the Slezuski swirl is the legacy she's leaving behind at ISU. Wednesday's paper reported that the Story County Board of Supervisors had adopted a nearly $59 million budget and agreed to another year of a lowered tax levy. The countywide levy would be $4.50 per $1,000 in taxable property evaluation. That would be a 45-cent per $1,000 decrease. Rural residents would pay a tax level of $7.33 per $1,000, a decrease of 66 cents. In spite of the lower levy, the county's revenue will increase by more than $4 million. 52% of Story County's revenue comes from property taxes, while about 18% will come from American Rescue Plan money. The supervisors also approved a 5% cost of living pay adjustment for county employees. 28% of the county's spending is for public safety and legal costs, 16% is for environment and education, 15% is for administration, and 13% is for roads and transportation. The Trib also reported that U.S. regulators had authorized another coronavirus booster shot for people 50 years old and older. That opens a fourth dose of Pfizer or Moderna vaccines to those people who received their previous booster at least 4 months earlier. This latest expansion allows an extra shot for millions more Americans. There was also word that higher food stamp benefits that began during the coronavirus pandemic would come to an end today, Friday, in Iowa. This, the result of Governor Reynolds' decision to end the state's coronavirus emergency proclamation earlier in the year. Iowa is among a growing number of states ending their participation in the federally funded increase. And the Trib also reported the demolition of the municipal pool that had been part of Ames High School was nearing completion. The pool had welcomed swimmers for more than a half century, but it's being torn out, as will the existing Ames High. The new high school will soon be finished, along with a new swimming pool, this one not open to the public. A new public Ames Aquatic Center is planned to open in 2024 in Ames. Yesterday's paper reported that some tenured Iowa State University faculty may have a chance to consider early retirement this fall before more specific budget cut plans are announced for their academic colleges. ISU will ask the Board of Regents this month to approve a retirement incentive program as part of the university's plan for downsizing the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. That's the second biggest college on campus and houses such programs as astronomy, chemistry, economics, English, geology, journalism, math, music, and social sciences. University administrators say declining enrollment, more students coming into college with more course credits, and an annual budget deficit have combined to force the need to cut $15 million from the liberal arts and sciences budget by 2025. There was also a report that a public hearing sponsored by the Sierra Club at the Iowa State Capitol this week on the use of eminent domain for the construction of proposed carbon capture pipelines had drawn about 100 people. Most of them were opposed to the use of eminent domain, which is used to force unwilling homeowners to sell access to their property for projects. Three companies have proposed building carbon capture pipelines across the state. And the Trib reported that the Main Street Bridge over Grand Avenue in Ames will be closed for 2 months, starting this coming Monday. The reason? A construction company will overlay the bridge deck, so the bridge has to be closed to pedestrians and traffic, and at times, Grand Avenue will also have to be closed. Signs will be put up to mark an alternative route for pedestrians and vehicles. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, making my way out of here now without the need of any signs and planning to spend the weekend resting up so I can rush right back here to the same virtual seat on Monday morning at 7 when I'll arrive with news from all around the state. In the meantime, let's both go ahead and have a safe, happy, and healthy weekend.
Dennis Hart with your week in the news, and the music interlude was Fool Yourself by Little Feat. You might say you ain't got a hold on yourself. You might say you only try your best. You might say you only need a rest. You might say you only fool yourself this April Fool's Day. And no fooling, we'd like to welcome Lee Searles from...
Good morning.
Good morning, Lee. Great to have you with us here on Local Talk. Could Could we start off with that?
Good to be here. I'm still in the process of recovering from yesterday.
Oh, from the long march.
Well, it was a long march up and down a stream bank on client's land. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was out in the weather.
Here in central Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. Not too far away from where I'm at now.
Lee, you're a landscape ecologist. You're one of the key people I view as a friend to the environment. And recently, I saw your name in a national magazine put out by the Sierra Club. And I thought, well, what greater opportunity to check out what's going on in Lee Searle's world. And this is really kind of a rare opportunity to not only talk about that magazine article, but find out what's close to your heart these days concerning the environment. So the topic in the Sierra Club magazine was Be Wild, Rewild. And our listeners...
Yes, and rewilding as a concept overall. I mean, this is something that not only has Iowa roots, but is European to begin with. Some Europeans have really latched on to this idea and put it into practice. And now there were some environmentalists in North America who had very similar ideas and have adopted the label rewilding, but they were already doing it. And they were mainly in the western part of the U.S.
Right.
So they would be people like Dave Foreman.
And a lot of environmental work along the East Coast also, but
yeah,
does it seem like there's somewhat of an open space? Sky's the limit here in the Midwest.
Well, yes, we often talk about Iowa as being the most altered landscape because of farming and especially row cropping, the most altered landscape among the lower 48 states, or probably in all of North America, and it would be a front runner for the most altered political unit in the entire world, I think, as far as alteration of landscape. And along with that, we have very little public land that's available for people to go in and hike and recreate, or public lands that protect the natural biodiversity that still is here in Iowa. So the idea of rewilding is to protect what's left and try to expand upon it so that we've got all that biodiversity, everything from the little tiny critters that you can't see with the naked eye that mm-hmm. live in the soil and on which we depend utterly for our existence, up to the very largest beasts that have roamed among us on this landscape.
And as I introduced you, I used the term ecologist. I think you just gave us a real good thumbnail overview of what an ecologist is. It sounds like it includes all the critters.
Yes, it does. And it also includes a way of thinking. So I have read recently a book called The Ecological Thought. And the idea of it is, I guess you could say it this way, that once you think ecologically, there's probably no going back to any other way of thinking about things. And what does it mean to think the ecological thought? It's the realization that in a very tangible way, very literal way, everything is connected together. And there really is no such thing as utter independence or individuality. We all rely on something else in the world around us, whether those are physical resources or other life forms, not to mention our own species.
The topic of how humans fit in, could we kind of flesh that out just a bit more? Because there seems to be a line of thinking that the human impact is holding back some of these ecological processes. And if you see where I'm going with that, well, when I see alternative energy popping up on the landscape. It's not coal. It's not carbon related. You know, it's solar and wind related. But our quest for energy seems to be one of the guiding forces of the human condition. How does all that play into the be wild, rewild concepts and realities?
First of all, let me say that that the human species really is like most other mammal species in almost everything we do. We have convinced ourselves culturally to think that we are above and separate from other life forms. I would argue the contrary, that the more that we develop energy and in the ways that we develop it, we are acting like most other species. We are setting out territories and defending them. We are creating little niches for ourselves to fit into, and these are all ecological concepts. But to come back to the energy question, you know, it's difficult for the human species to live on the earth and not use energy-producing resources, whether that is a small campfire or a nuclear-powered plant. And each of those raises questions. If population densities are low and there are relatively few campfires on the planet, our impact is low. But as we develop our technology, our impact increases. And another side of this, too, is that it requires more energy input per unit of energy output. So we become less and less efficient in our energy use as technology increases and becomes more complex. The obvious answer to me is to downscale the energy process in some way so that we are decreasing the ratio of input to output. And there are other ways of stating this too, but that's a very simple, very easy way to think about it. And if we don't accomplish that, then we're just burning up more energy to make more energy, and that seems like a failed path.
I see your point, and I wanted to include that because I think as we go through some of the main points in the Sierra Club magazine article, that these sort of, I don't want to use the word compromises, but the influences are far-reaching. And as an ecologist, I really welcome your perspective on these. Let's talk about in Iowa, 97% agricultural row crop. Been a lot of movement to not only expand conservation areas, but existing conservation areas, expanding the state park footprints. And yet there's beginning to be quite a pushback concerning public ownership of land. So we're trying to do, it's kind of always seems like we're trying to do more with less. But let's drill into these core areas then that might be considered where there's a more of a natural balance with the natural world, like around our state properties or our state parks.
Well, first of all, to come back to the question you asked a moment ago and give it a better answer, I think there are ways for humans to fit on the landscape without trashing it, without burning through the resources so quickly. So that said, if we take on ecological thinking and realize that we're connected to other things, one of my favorite examples is that without our gut bacteria, we are dead. Mm-hmm. Without a fairly functional gut bacteria, we are dead. We utterly rely on microbes for our existence. So if we're looking at a landscape around us that has other living things, we are utterly reliant under ecological thinking on all those other life forms and on biodiversity for our own existence. That means that we have to preserve that biodiversity. We see in Iowa that it's on the downfall side of things. And so to have public policies that are against buying land and against preserving biodiversity is counter to our own best interests. And how is that so? Well, let's take the example of energy. There are very few of us that can set up an independent energy producing system in our backyard. Even if it's solar or a small wind tower, the resources for those come from somewhere else, have to be mined and manufactured and distributed to us. And so we depend on those outside connections that are often very distant in order to have so-called energy independence. The same would go for the production and distribution of, say, ethanol. We rely on at least large regional connections to make that happen rather than small communities. And if you look at the structure of nature, nature is structured into small communities that are integrated into ever larger communities of beings and non-living things. And so the success of all those communities at different scales relies not only on large-scale processes like climate and weather patterns, but also on smaller scale things like the soil health in a particular spot on the planet, or on the pollinators that are coming to the flowers. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to all things agricultural and energy related, you simply can't make the argument that we can live without species and biodiversity and natural resources of some sort. So I hope that got to your question. Oh, yeah. I tend to ramble a bit.
Well, it's strengthening the web of life. And I think you make some very key points. And of course, I could listen to hours of your presentation, your delivery. I will mention again that I'll try to put the link to this Sierra Club magazine for people that want to read more, learn more. I hesitate to go too far into the corridors, carnivores, and core areas that was mentioned so prominently in the article. That's such a strong base for your environmental outreach. But is there a summation that we could kind of tie these key points together that you're making?
I think so, and I think it's the realization that we are just another species on the planet, and we, in the end, obey our mammalian and animal heritage in ways that we don't understand, and if we understood those better, we would take better care of the world around us locally and on a global scale.
And I sure hope to learn more in the upcoming Earth Appreciation Activities. We're going to try to do again April 23rd. I hope you're going to be available for that to kind of flesh out some of these concepts a little further. But I did want our listeners to realize that appearing in a national magazine and putting a spotlight on Iowa is something of real value. And I really thank you for all that you do for conservation, Lee Searles.
Well, it's a pleasure to do all of it, and you're welcome, and thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, let's learn more next time. Thank you, Leland Searles from Marshalltown, Iowa.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with a foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. No. Can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way,
Yes, a bit more of our foolish theme, Annie Lennox, Fool on the Hill. It is 7:32 on your Friday. You're listening to Local Talk on Community Radio, and I'm your host for the hour, Pat Schlarbaum, with co-host Mike Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Let's welcome Susan Gwiazda, Public Information Officer with the City of Ames. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good to be here.
It's good to have you join us once again. Any announcements for our fair city?
I do have a couple announcements on this Friday. It's easy to forget, but on Monday, we're going to have some detours. So you are traveling on East 13th Street, please be aware that although the street will be open for traffic, it will be down to one lane in each direction from about, if you're coming into town, from about Meadow Lane into the Duff area. Mm-hmm. So we went through this last year where we fixed portions of 13th Street at a time, but we always keep one lane of traffic open in each direction. So the traffic flows, it just flows more slowly. So if you're one of those people Monday morning who tend to leave for work a few minutes late or running your errands or getting your groceries, you need to remember that that project will start on Monday. Mm-hmm. Another project, which is kind of important for those of us who work downtown, is the Main Street Bridge over Grand Avenue. Mm-hmm. So that bridge will close Monday, April 4th. This is a DOT project. It's not a City of Ames project, but it obviously affects a lot of our residents. It is the bridge that most people will know is it connects downtown with Wheatsfield. So if that's the route that you use to get to downtown or to Wheatsfield, you'll need to reroute yourself via 6th Street, most likely. Mm. So just some traffic disruptions, and we're getting into that season where traffic disruptions will become more and more common.
Mm-hmm. But doable with the extension of Grand Avenue. For those south of town that maybe think about 13th Street, well, there's a new alternative to get into the Grand Avenue connection. Let's try to be mindful of our maintenance workers there on the, along the highways and byways, and we'll all move forward together.
Yeah, you know, I always say every detour is another opportunity to experience a new part of Ames.
So I love it.
Look at this as a way to visit part of the community you don't often see.
Yeah.
So as long as you have the time, give yourself a few extra minutes, you'll be fine.
Give yourself a few extra minutes. Words to live by right there. Thank you. And you've brought a guest this morning.
I did. I bring Bill Schmidt, the superintendent of a resource recovery plant. I like to bring him to KHOI every so often, actually very frequently, because I think he brings a great message to remind people about, I would call it our responsibility to think about and reduce our waste and what kind of carbon footprint that we create and maybe ways we can decrease it. Mm-hmm. I think it has been an extremely eye-opening experience for me to look at the amount of waste that the resource recovery plant handles every single day that most of us never think about. And is there a better way to be to be recycling? Is there a better way to be reducing what we throw away? And I think Bill has some terrific insights. And he's also established a bunch of new programs to help people divert material.
Excellent. Welcome, Bill Schmidt.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us once again. And I think Susan was alluding to something. I view your work as the conscience of our community and the power of sorting and realizing what we're casting aside, and how does that all fit together? So, yeah, I love this topic of recycling.
Thank you. It's a great topic that we love to do. We really do. Mm-hmm. People out there, because they're passionate about the environment, they want to make sure we're sustainable and do everything we can to get the maximum benefit out of the items that we have taken from the environment and put into use. Mm-hmm. And it gives us that opportunity to really, really encourage people to do that. We've got a couple events coming up here this month. One of those is Stash of Trash. We'll be doing that April 30th. We will have a roll-off down at Ryman Gardens mm-hmm. and the south side of Jack Trice Stadium. We'll put it there on Friday, and we'll have it there through Sunday. We'll have bags available at Resource Recovery that people come and pick up that they could use for the event. And we encourage people just to go out any time and pick up trash, whether it be in your neighborhood mm-hmm. or a park, or as you go for a walk, pick up that trash, put it in a bag. And if you want to just put it in your own trash, that's fine. That's wonderful. It doesn't need to go down to the roll-off. Mm-hmm. But if you have large items, we will certainly have that roll-off down there. We've had a great start to the event already. We had a business that did a day of service with some of their employees. 2 weeks ago, they went out on a rainy day, and they picked up 1,220 pounds of trash with about four people, which is fantastic. Yeah. It was amazing how much they got. So we're already off to a great start. Mm-hmm. And we really just encourage people, just as you're out and about, as Susan said, you're taking a little bit of detour because of some of the construction. When you're on a walk, pick up some of those items and throw them in the trash.
Oh, I just love it. I love those encouraging words to benefit or improve our environment. So Stash the Trash, April 30th, we're going to have reminders on that there at Ryman Gardens. And spring is a good cleanup time. I used the term earlier, sorting. How's it going with sorting the food processes?
The food processes are going fantastic. We're getting a tremendous amount of material dropped off. We're having people that are really trying to, in conversations with people that are dropping material off, talking about, you know, I didn't realize how much food waste I was throwing away.
Yeah.
How easy it is to buy something thinking that you're going to, you know, if you get the bigger size, it's a little bit better, you know, value, but then you don't eat it all up. So really looking at their buying habits and trying to make sure that they consume everything that they buy. If they go to maybe go out to eat and have a take home, you know, trying to encourage them to be sustainable with their take home containers. But then also, do they eat those leftovers and really look at those? And people have really started to look at how they can better conserve those natural resources on the food production side. And it's really interesting. I mean, we've got support from all different ages of people, and we've got some people that says, you know, I just really never thought about it. It was so easy to throw it in the trash, and it was gone. You didn't think mm-hmm. about it. Start to put it there in the food bucket, and every time you open up the food bucket and you see those package of strawberries you bought that you never ate that are turning moldy, you realize that I really need to do a better job of consuming what I've got here in my own household.
Well, and I seem to have learned that by sorting the food items out of the trash, it helps in your resource recovery management areas. Your burning is much more efficient when those food items are not being included.
That is correct. So many of the food items have such a high moisture content, so of course they don't burn very well. And during our process, a lot of the food items kind of come through and don't get sent over to the power plant. So they go directly to the landfill where they generate methane. So this way we're able to keep them out of the landfill, and that composting process is much more environmentally friendly than putting them in a landfill and having them create methane. So it's a good way to make sure that they get treated properly if they're not eaten.
Mm-hmm. Are there other items that we could put on our agenda that's coming up beyond
sure.
Stash the Trash?
Yeah, actually. actually on the same day we have our No Charge Yard Waste Day. It's April 30th at 400 Friel Drive from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We ask people to please enter from South Dayton onto Southeast 5th Street, and then they can go into the event on Friel Drive, and then when they come out, they'll take a right, and they just go right north to Lincoln Way, and they can exit. So this will be for leaves, cleaning up your planting beds and garden in the springtime, small branches, 4 inches or less in size. But it's a good opportunity to kind of get do that spring cleaning in your own own yard, own planting area.
And I guess I'll help some of the listeners. They may know where your plant is there on East Lincoln Way, but proceed on east or cross the river, and you come to Friel Drive, and it'll be on your right. So it's kind of in the area east of the Skunk River, whereas your major facility is kind of on the west bank of Ames, so or of west of the Skunk River.
That is correct. The yard waste site is south of, we tell people it's south of Schaefer Auto Body. Look for the wooden car. You can go south from there.
Look for the wooden car, sure. Yeah, find Friel Drive and No Charge April 30th.
It'll be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Sure. Well, are there other topics that I'm overlooking here this morning, Bill?
Just encourage people, if they have any questions, want to take a tour, they can call us at 515-239-5137. And I'm going to put Susan on the spot because I think there is a council climate action plan meeting coming up next week, which may be very interested to a lot of
us. Absolutely. Those of you who have been following the climate action plan, you'll want to tune in on Tuesday, April 5th for our workshop with the steering committee, who is the Ames City Council. That's at 6 p.m. If you're not able to attend in person at the Ames City Hall, you can stream it from our YouTube or Facebook pages, and you can participate that way. If you just are simply not available on Tuesday, April 5th, you can watch it from the archive. All of the meetings are archived on our website under the Ames TV button, and that's a great way to stay informed.
And I think I'll make a plug for April 23rd, our Earth Day on the airwaves coming up, and I'm sure Mr. Schmidt will be included in all of that programming that we're going to be devoting for on that Saturday, April 23rd.
Which is also the water plant open house.
Yeah.
We are excited to have the return of the water plant open house, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our, I still call it the brand new Ames Water Plant on East 13th Street. And Pat, I have one more announcement. Today was supposed to be the opening day for Homewood Golf Course, and it looks nice out, but it's pretty brisk, and the course had snow on it yesterday. So they have postponed that opening until Saturday. So April 2nd will be opening day for Homewood Golf Course. So if you're a golfer, one more day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. It's going to be here. It's going to be spring. The snow is only temporary.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susan Guiazda, Public Information Officer with the City of Ames, and Bill Schmidt, Superintendent of Resource Recovery and our manager extraordinaire. Thank you for all you do for conservation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down. And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But yet nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make. And he never seems to notice what the fool on the hill sees, the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Tell what he wants to do, and he never shows his feelings, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
Let's welcome Mary Wilkins with ISU Extension. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us once again.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
There's no reflection on the fool on the hill with your segment. I was compelled to have something about April Fool's Day. So, and I love that song, so I hope that was okay.
Of course.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell us about the world of ISU Extension.
Sure. So Story County Extension has several programs coming up for a variety of ages. And these are, some are getting started as early as next week. So we have our Young Explorers program, and this is geared towards parents with preschoolers. So if maybe they don't have preschool on Wednesdays, they are welcome to join us from 10 to 10:45 a.m. We do six different times we'll meet on Wednesdays, and there will be an opportunity to explore different topics. It could be related to different STEM topics, related to weather, related to spring as we head into the spring season, maybe a little bit of things with nursery rhymes like Jack and Jill, or even things with Slinky. So there will be a variety of things. Each week we'll explore some topic for about 45 minutes together as a group. We would encourage families to pre-register just so we have an idea of how many will be joining us each week. And that will be held at our office, located at 1421 South Bell Avenue. And it's suite number 107 here in Ames. So that's one that will begin on Wednesday, April 6th, and will continue on Wednesdays through May 11th. The next one is geared towards teens, and the program is called Money Sense. This program will be held April 11th. However, we would need registration at the latest on Monday. So we'll take registrations through Monday, April 4th. The Money Sense one, Avila Bank has kindly offered to host us on April 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. The topic is money, and it's going to be an opportunity to help teens just explore that topic how to set goals, making choices, maybe recognizing what might be a need versus a want when we're making those financial choices, even as a team, and things to consider as they to save and resources that would be available to them during for that process as well. So again, that one will be Money Sense on April 11th from 1 to 4 at Avalia Bank. However, registration is due by Monday, April 4th at 5 p.m.
Yeah, that's coming right up. And they'll go to your website, extension.
So the information is on our website at www.extension.iastate.edu/story. They are also welcome to call us at 515-337-1601. Otherwise, they can always email us at xstory@iastate.edu.
Exploring. I love that. Yeah, good term.
Yeah. And we can help them get registered for those events.
Well, and I seem to recall the Mindful Teen workshops. Hard to get too much of this topic. Could you tell us a bit more about the Mindful Teen workshops, please?
Yes, absolutely. So the Mindful Teen workshop is geared for teens, of course, and it's an opportunity to explore tools, skills, strategies to help with those everyday stresses, maybe our emotions, things that we experience from day to day. So there will be tools and tips, activities that will help promote and use those tools that will offer help for everyday activities, overall well-being, relationships, performance at school, and other activities as well. So this workshop is being hosted in partnership with the Ames Public Library, and it will be held on May 11th. So this one is a little bit further out, but it's great to share about it now so people can get it on their calendars.
Yeah.
It'll be May 11th from 6 to 7 p.m., and this one does not require registration. So they can join us May 11th from 6 to 7 p.m. At the Ames Public Library in the PEO room.
If you have teens, if you have teens, it's good to put it on the calendar. May 11th, it'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely, yes. And one event that's coming up, April 9th. We love to be at events as well, and so. If families are going to the Animal Learning Day, we will have a space there and look forward to sharing some activities throughout that event, as well as having information about our upcoming summer offerings. I know it's only April 1st, but summer will be here very shortly as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's on April 9th, did I hear you say?
Yeah. So there's an animal learning event at the Hanson Center from 9 to 1. It is an ISU Black and Bridal event. It is their event. We just happen to have a very small piece in offering some activities at that event.
Mm-hmm. Support those community activities. Well, is there...
Yes.
We're moving right along towards... our completion here, Mary. Is there anything else that we'd like to include?
Just as families are beginning to think about their summer plans, we do have our program offerings complete, ready, and available. That information can be found on our website, and that is www.extension.iastate.edu/story.
For all the summer program offerings, yes,
Absolutely. Yes, there will be a wide variety, various themes, various topics, anything from space to agriculture, to technology, and programs for various ages again. For those that are at a preschool level, a kindergarten through third grade, and even fourth grade and up.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Mary welcomes ISU Extension at Iowa State University /story. And thanks for all you do for the youth of Story County and beyond.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Have a good weekend, Mary. On Monday, Local Talk, Steve Vesey will have an update on the Save Bloody Run in Northeast Iowa. And that involves a lawsuit filed for the Department of Natural Resources to protect our trout streams in Iowa. And on Tuesday, there's going to be a CO2 pipeline story. And this comes from a gathering down at the state capitol a few days ago. A farmer, Ted Junker, from Grundy County, Iowa, he wanted me to share, if you are a landowner that's going to be impacted by the CO2 pipeline, do not sign any voluntary easements. I told Ted I would put that on the air, so there you go, Mr. Junker from Grundy County, Iowa. Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. And tell your friends far and wide, KHOI is streaming live at khoifm.org. And hit that play button, and that's where you can find this program in the archives. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to the website khoifm.org and find the yellow donate button.
Mark Twain thought April 1st was very important because it's the day we remember that what we are the other 364 days of the year. KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Thank you, Local Talk producer Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report of our news of the week. Thank you, engineer Mike Murphy, and thanks to our guests, Leland Searles, Bill Schmidt, and Mary Wilkins. I've been your host for this hour, Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other artists you heard were Little Feat, Fool Yourself, Annie Lennox from The Night That Changed America, Fool on the Hill, and the Beatles with the last chord, so to speak, of their Fool on the Hill. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! And Adagio at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
This is KHOI Story City, Ames.